So, two quick important updates at the top of today's show. One, if you didn't see yesterday's show, that is likely because YouTube suppressed it, didn't pop it and recommend it for you because at some point it got suppressed. It's one of the unfortunate things about covering the type of news that I opened with yesterday's show. Those kind of videos get pushed down because it is a mature matter, but it doesn't take away from its importance. So after today's show, definitely check it out. Two, I'm gonna try my best so you don't even feel it. That's a weird thing to say. But for the next 1 to 2.5 months, I'm gonna be extremely overloaded. We're moving from this studio to a new place that my offer has been accepted. I'm very excited about it. I've been busting my butt trying to find a place over the last 2 months so we didn't just kind of get kicked out onto the street. Well, I'm gonna try my best to make sure it does not interfere with the show. I just wanna kind of give you that heads up of we're entering rocky territory for the next 2 months. So if there ends up being a day where there is not a show where there should be, I don't think Phil died. Just know that that's a possibility. And if you really wanna cover your bases, text me at my number right here. Ooh. Among other things, I always text out important updates with that number. But with that said, welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Hit that like button, otherwise it will absolutely assault your throat. And let's just jump into the news of the day so you can get back to yours. Now, the first thing up today, let's talk about why people are saying that Dr. Seuss is being canceled. So when I first saw the headlines, I was like, did he come out with a new book? Was the book like 1 canceling, 2 canceling, 3 canceling, 4? If your mother has an OnlyFans, she's not a whore. Because what a woman does with her body should only matter to her, even if she's naked in the snow and it makes her go brr. Side note, sex work is real work, and if you attack sex workers, it says more about you than them. Boom. But the story in question is about 6 Dr. Seuss books because they will no longer be published because they contain what has been perceived as racist stereotypes and insensitive imagery. With the late author's company, Seuss Enterprises, announcing this move this morning, saying the books, quote, portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong, and adding, ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises' catalog represents and supports all communities and families. With the company telling the Associated Press that this decision was made last year after months of feedback from audiences, teachers, and other specialists in the academic field. But it is also worth noting that this comes a week after a school district in Virginia made headlines for allegedly banning Dr. Seuss books. Though, I will note, that district eventually clarified that it was not banning the books. Instead, saying that it was actually discouraging the connection between Seuss and Read Across America Day, which falls on the author's birthday, which is today. Though, I do want to note, this decision to move away from Dr. Seuss is not actually an uncommon move. We've actually seen school districts across the country having done the same. In fact, the National Education Association, which founded Read Across America Day and deliberately aligned it with Dr. Seuss's birthday, they've actually been de-emphasizing Seuss for years now and encouraging a more diverse reading list for kids. And with this story, I'll close it with 2 things. One, if you're wondering what kind of things that people took issue with in Dr. Seuss's books, you want a deep dive. A link to an interesting study down below that looked at many examples of what appear to be characters based on racial stereotypes. For instance, in the Cat's Quizzer, the study says the Japanese character is referred to as a Japanese, has a bright yellow face, and is standing on what appears to be Mount Fuji. As well as If I Ran the Zoo, the Asian characters carry a white male over their heads with the text below them describing them as helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant from countries no one can spell. But again, just a few examples, you can click the link down below. And two, if there are any publishers out there that would like to publish my series of adult sing-song rhyming books, Phil on a Hill, contact me. That sounds like a lot of fun. Then, in celebrity news, I hope you are ready for the wave of celebrities in politics. You know, obviously, yes, we just went from Donald Trump, a reality star being president, but I do not think that is the end of it. Though, I will say, Ukraine has every other country beat as far as celebrity president. Right, President Zelensky of Ukraine, if you do not remember, played a guy who became president on TV before actually doing so. Which, actually, funny enough, there is a similar comparison to be made in America now. Right, as the years have gone on, there's been more and more talk of Dwayne The Rock Johnson maybe running for president or some office. And funny enough, his new show, Young Rock, it starts with the premise that it's in the future and he's running for president, talking about his childhood. Which, hey, maybe I'm completely wrong and crazy here, but it really does feel like the beginning of planting seeds for a run in the future. By that point, there's gonna be nothing else for him to win or succeed in. He's not the only one. You have Will Smith in the news. He's actually long spoken about potentially getting into politics. Back in 2015, telling The Hollywood Reporter, as I look at the political landscape, I think there might be a future out there for me. They might need me out there. This is the first time I've been incensed to a level that I can't sleep. And since then, he's done more and more to be a part of the political conversations that are happening. But he has a new docuseries coming out, Amend, The Fight for America. And actually yesterday he made headlines because while promoting this docuseries with Pod Save America, he was asked what made him consider running for political office or what prevented him from doing so. And he said,
I think for now, I'm gonna let that office get cleaned up a little bit and then I'll
get the deep clean and the vaccinations.
Yeah. And then I'll consider that at some point down the line.
So with that clip getting spread around, people sharing his other quotes from the past about politics, people started once again talking about celebrities in politics. And I will say, I think regarding that debate, I think we've gotten past the point of people are gonna learn their lesson. That Donald Trump left such a bad taste in so many American mouths that we're not gonna see celebrity politicians. I do not find that to be true. Because two of the most important things when you're running for office, likability and how many people even know your name. Like, think about the celebrities that you like, whether it be Will Smith, whether it be The Rock. What do you actually know about them, right? It's something that has been known in politics for the longest time. One of the most important things for a voter is, do I feel like I could sit down and have a beer with this person? As long as that's true, nothing's changing. If anything, it's gonna lean that way more. Also, this feels like the opportune time and place to mention this. I have been listed in a few places as a potential contender to run for mayor in 2022. And I wanna make clear right here, right now, that was a joke, unless, how about this? You get this video to 200,000 likes. This is my version of that thing on Twitter where people are like, if you get this 100,000 retweets, I'll get this tattoo. You get this video to 200,000 likes, I've run for political office. Why are you running for office, Mr. DeFranco? Peer pressure and memes. But also, honestly, I don't know if I could do a worse job than the last guy if I tried. DeFranco 2022. What's the worst that could happen? A lot of stuff, y'all. Don't do this. I am very comfortable in my life and would like in no way to be blamed for the homeless problem directly. But hey, that's a story, my opinion, and of course now I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts here? Do you think we're gonna see a continued rise of celebrity politicians? Is that a necessarily bad thing? Is it an okay thing? Any and all thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. And then let's talk about this. I don't know if you're aware, March is Women's History Month, and one of the first things that many people saw for Women's History Month was Twitch apologizing. And this because a streaming platform decided to celebrate Women's History Month by using a controversial term that spells women with an X. Which I will say, if you're anything like me, that was the first time I saw women spelled that way. So let's break this down. In a shared blog post yesterday, we saw Twitch using the spelling exclusively while announcing the Twitch Women's Alliance, which is a new community to help push forward the visibility and growth of women creators on Twitch. Now, if you're wondering, that spelling was originally created because woman includes man, and with that, it was meant to avoid what they saw as perceived sexism, with it also reportedly being meant to be more inclusive of transgender women and non-binary people. However, that has actually been criticized for implying that trans women are not women, right, with the criticism being that this implies that trans women need their own word if they're to be considered real women. And on top of that, you also have people saying it's just unnecessary and confusing. And so if it's not already clear to you, you had a lot of people very annoyed, though for greatly different reasons. Right? You had people saying that Twitch was just virtue signaling here, but also on the other end, you had people saying that they were transphobic. And ultimately, this resulted in Twitch apologizing and reverting back to the normal spelling, and adding that they originally wanted to use a word that acknowledges the shortcoming of gender binary language, and noting our good intentions don't always equate to positive impact, but we're committed to growing from these experiences, doing better, and ensuring we're inclusive to all. Also, if I can add a small thing to this story. Sometimes, if not almost always, the best way to figure out is this the right way to say this is to ask the person that it is about, that it describes. For example, did you know that according to the people that it is meant to describe being polled, the majority of Latinos do not want to be described as Latinx? Granted, there are actually going to be a number of people that do. The opinions might change over time based off of how it's used, but hopefully the understanding that we can get from a situation like this, other than kind of like dunking on people that maybe did something that wasn't the right thing, is that we could all probably benefit by asking more questions and shutting the fuck up. At least, that's the lesson I'm gonna try and take away from this story. Then, oh boy, let's talk about this lawsuit out of Texas, right? Last week, we talked about a $1 billion lawsuit being filed against a Texas utility company, Gritty. This for charging customers sky-high electric bills for using power during last month's snowstorm. That because Gritty's prices are connected to the wholesale price of electricity in Texas, and usually, that's supposed to mean low prices for customers, but as demand surged, so did electric bills. But now, what we're seeing is Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filing another lawsuit against the company for similar reasons. With the lawsuit claiming that Gritty downplayed the risk of fluctuating energy prices, but also noting that a 2019 consumer alert from the Better Business Bureau warned that the use of the term wholesale should not be used unless a business actually owns and operates or directly and completely controls a wholesale or distribution facility which primarily sells products to retailers for resale, which was not the case with Gritty. And on top of that, the lawsuit even says that Gritty auto-charged bills straight from people's checking accounts, with that claim also being backed up by customer testimonies to a number of media outlets, who have noted that in just days, hundreds or even thousands of dollars vanished from their bank accounts. And for many, that also set off a cascade of overdraft fees and missed payments for other bills. Now, no surprise here, in response, a spokesperson for Gritty said that the company does not agree with the claim. So it is very likely that Gritty will try to defend themselves, at least in part by noting that during the storm, it actually encouraged its customers to drop them and switch companies. And then let's talk about voting and voting rights, because behind the scenes of the people that are pushing the big lie that the election was stolen, you have a number of people from a certain party that are fighting the real fight in that if too many people vote, we almost always lose.
And that
may be the reason that we're seeing Republicans in the Georgia House passing a sweeping bill yesterday that would massively roll back voting access in the state. The bill, which was proposed by Republicans who want to impose new restrictions after losing the election, was passed 97 to 72 along party lines. And if signed into law, among other things, the legislation would require a photo ID for absentee voting, cut the amount of time voters have to request an absentee ballot, restrict ballot drop box locations to inside early voting locations, shorten Georgia's runoff election period, impose more strict regulations on provisional ballots, prevent the governments from mailing out unsolicited absentee ballot applications to registered voters, ban nonprofit organizations from helping fund elections, almost entirely cut early voting buses that are key to transporting people to the polls, prohibit food and drinks from being distributed to voters waiting in long lines, and finally limiting early voting hours on the weekends. And actually, that last part is one of the most controversial provisions. And that is because the Get Out the Vote campaign, known as Souls to the Polls, is widely used by black churches. Right, that initiative has been credited with mobilizing black voters all over the country since the Jim Crow era, but this proposed law would limit events to just one Sunday during the early voting period, which they would, of course, also cut short. Now, Republicans who have pushed for the bill argue that it is necessary to restore public confidence in Georgia's elections and help prevent fraud. But to that, you have Democrats, voting rights organizations, and protesters who gathered out in front of the Capitol to demonstrate against this bill have pointed out that numerous top Republican officials, including Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, have said time and time again there was no evidence of fraud in the 2020 elections. And if anything, it was Republicans that hurt public trust in the state's elections by repeating Donald Trump's false claims about election fraud. Even though, as the Atlanta Journal-Constitution notes, legislative Republicans who supported Trump's claims have not contested the results of their own General Assembly elections. And so in part, that's why you have people arguing this is just a very transparent attempt to drive down voter turnout and suppress voters, particularly black voters. Right, without that exceptional turnout from black voters, Republicans would most likely still control the Senate. Now, as far as what happens next, the bill will be heading to the state Senate, which is also Republican-controlled and already considering its own elections bill that would end no-excuse absentee voting, among other things. And then, of course, it goes to Brian Kemp, who we all know is very sympathetic to voter suppression. But really notably here, this is just one focal point on a much bigger issue. Right, this isn't the only election bill that's being proposed in state capitals around the country. In fact, according to the Brennan Center for Justice, legislators in 43 states are considering more than 250 bills that would create impediments to voting. But ultimately, that is where we are with this story now, and we're gonna have to wait and see what comes of all of this. And that is where I'm going to end today's show. As always, thank you for being a part of my daily dives in the news. Subscribe and hitting that like button, all the good stuff. If you're looking for more to watch, definitely check out yesterday's Philip DeFranco show, or if you want something lighter and far longer and maybe more interesting to you, I have that podcast with Matt Mercer. It's really, really good. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.